Hi everyone, you on with L Boogie. I know it's been a minute since I've had a chance to do a podcast. So, I'm back. Today is Monday. And we got a lot on our plate in this episode. We have something on ASAP Rocky, R. Kelly, your favorite president of the United States. We have a power-packed episode here. And we're going to get started as soon as we get back from the messages or break. See you soon. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you're back on with L Boogie. And this is Pick Me Up Monday. And we have a lot going on here this week. It's been a minute since I was able to come on and do a podcast, but we're going to be on today and we're going to cover a few different topics. The first thing we're going to cover today is, what has your president been up to? Wow. Okay. Trump claims on the eve of re-election launch that ICE will begin deporting millions. The Department of Homeland Security officials told NBC News that the millions figure the president used in his tweet was likely overblown. Well, of course, our president seems to overblow a lot of things. Okay. President Donald Trump announced on the eve of the launch of his re-election campaign that Immigration and Customs Enforcement would soon deport millions of undocumented immigrants living in the United States. Next week, ICE will begin to process of removing the millions of illegal aliens who have illicitly found their way into the United States, Trump tweeted Monday night, less than 24 hours before officially opening his re-election bid with a rally in Orlando, Florida. Two Department of Homeland Security officials told NBC News that the millions figure the president used in his tweet was likely overblown. The agency's acting director, Mark Morgan, recently told reporters that he planned to ramp up interior immigration enforcement and deport more undocumented families. In a statement, ICE said the agency will continue to conduct interior enforcement without exemption from those who are in violation of federal immigration law. This includes routine targeted enforcement operations, criminals, individuals suspected of removal orders, and work site enforcement. The agency added, this is about addressing the border crisis by upholding the rule of law and maintaining the integrity of the immigration system as created by Congress. The administration official said deportation orders were issued for more than 1 million undocumented immigrants, a great time and expense, and yet illegal aliens not only refuse to appear in court, they often obtain fraudulent identities, collect federal welfare, and illegal work in the United States. Enforcing these final judicial order is a top priority for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Willful defiance of our laws and the defrauding of American people with fraudulent asylum claims will not be tolerated, the officials added. Wow, they're serious. The statement did not specify what actions, if any, the president planned to take next week. Deportation from the interior of the U.S. are done because of a lack of bed space at detention centers due to the influx of immigrants being apprehended and held in ICE custody after crossing the border. After being arrested, immigrants are held in detention centers while re-deportation arrangements are made with their home countries. But those centers are at or near capacity because of the influx of immigrants. Deportation peaked at around 400,000 a year at the beginning of the decade and decreased at about 250,000 or fewer undocumented immigrants annually in recent years, according to ICE statistics. This isn't the first time Trump has pledged to rapidly deport millions of undocumented immigrants. During a post-election interview with CBS 60 Minutes in November 2016, Trump said he planned to immediately deport 2 million or 3 million undocumented immigrants with criminal records. Shortly after his inauguration, in an August 2016 immigration speech, Trump said that those deportations would begin on day one, saying, "My first hour in office, those people are gone." Wow. In a 2015 interview on MSNBC Morning Joe, Trump said he would create a deportation force to remove the millions of undocumented immigrants living in the U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat California, responded, Trump's latest deportation pledge Tuesday afternoon, calling him a calling on him to wake up from these cruel, ineffective, and discriminatory practices and work with Democrats to support smart, effective immigration reform that honors our values and keeps families together and safe. The president's new threat of a mass deportation dragnet is an act of utter malice and bigotry designed solely to inject fear in our community, she said. This plan revives the horror of the president's family separation policy, inflicting its inhumanity on countless hardworking families across America. Wow, okay. It's serious. This is serious. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's like he's trying to make good on his campaign promise, and announce his re-election, and he's making good on his campaign promise to his base. This is one of his big campaign pledges. He pledged to do this, and what he's trying to do is live up to what he said he was going to do. I mean, on one hand, I won't say it's wrong, but it's politics. And I will say what he is doing, political-wise, he's catering to his base. And basically, you know, he's trying to deliver on his campaign promises. That's all I have to say about that. Okay. When we return, we'll have a bit of information on R. Kelly. See you guys after this short break. All Hi everyone, you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. Now we're gonna cover what's going on with the Pied Piper of R&B, Robert Kelly. Well, R. Kelly denied bond at hearing on sex crime indictment, will stay in jail. R. Kelly, locked up for 5 more days on multiple sex crime charges in separate federal indictment in Illinois and New York, will stay locked up for the time being following a hearing Tuesday in Chicago during which a judge ruled against granting him bond. Kelly appeared in federal court for an arraignment on charges including production of sex porn, sex trafficking, racketeering, crossing state lines for sex with underage girls, and obstruction of justice, contained in an indictment unsealed last week in the Northern District of Illinois and in the Eastern District of New York. Assistant District Attorney Angela Kroll argued against allowing Kelly out of jail on bond, describing him as a flight risk and an extreme danger to the community, especially to minor girls, according to Associated Press and the Chicago Sun-Times. His representation lawyer argued, and I quote, "How could he flee? He has no money." His attorney, Steve Greenberg, countered, "There's no evidence that he's a risk to minors at all at this point." Unlike his most famous song, "I Believe I Can Fly," Mr. Kelly doesn't like to fly, Greenberg told U.S. District Judge Harry Linwinger. Kelly is being held at the Metropolitan Correction Center in Chicago. According to Associated Press, Kelly, wearing an orange jumpsuit, shackled at his ankles, did not speak except to say, "Yes, sir," when the judge asked if he understood the charges. Greenberg submitted not guilty plea for Kelly to charges in the indictment, which painted damning portraits of the R&B singer as a longtime sexual predator who allegedly employed an entourage to recruit girls to have illegal sex with him, make and distribute videos of these illegal acts, and cover up crimes by paying and threatening alleged victims and witnesses. Besides the arraignment and bail issue, the hearing was scheduled to determine how to proceed on 2 separate indictments, including whether Kelly eventually will be taken to New York to face charges there. Among those at the hearing, Jocelyn Savage and Arielle Clary, who described themselves as Kelly's girlfriends, who live with him at his Trump Tower Chicago condo. There you go, Trump is in everything, isn't he? The pair continued to support Kelly, even though their families described them as Kelly's sex slaves, held in thrall and subjected to abuse. Later, Savage's mother issued a statement thanking federal authorities for arresting Kelly. "Today's discussion to deny bond is a small glimmer of hope, but we look forward to feeling the full rays of justice, the statement from Jocelyn Savage said. Since the indictment was unsealed, federal prosecutors insist Kelly be denied bond while awaiting trial and that home confinement and electronic monitoring would not be enough to minimize the risk of further crimes. Kroll told the judge that Kelly has a unique ability to influence and intimidate witnesses and victims that is continuing. Prior to Thursday night, when he was arrested, Kelly had been free on bail after being charged with multiple sex crimes in Illinois State Court in Chicago by Cook County State Attorney Kim Fox earlier this year. Although several hearings have taken place, a trial has not been scheduled on those charges of rape and sexual assault involving four accusers, three of whom were underage at the time the alleged crime took place. It is not clear yet which set of charges Kelly will face first, whether the federal charges will be combined, for instance, or whether the federal cases will proceed ahead of the state cases, which is not common when defendants are charged in multiple jurisdictions. In the 13-count Illinois indictment, Kelly's accused of engaging in sex acts with five minors and recording some of the acts on video. The indictment mentioned that prosecutors have at least four videos of Kelly allegedly engaging in illegal sex with one of the accusers. And the videos allegedly were transported across state lines and or foreign borders. He and his employees are accused of intimidating alleged victims and plotting to hide evidence. The videos to obstruct the Chicago police investigation in the 2000s of his alleged sexual misconduct with minors. He is accused of conspiring to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to some accusers and their families to obstruct the investigation that led to his trial in 2000 in Cook County on a child pornography charges. He was acquitted at trial. So far, the only criminal proceeding he has ever faced, in part because the alleged victim in that case refused to testify. The 5-count New York indictment accused Kelly of being the leader of a racketeering enterprise with managers, bodyguards, drivers, personal assistants, and runners in his entourage who recruited women and girls to engage in illegal sex activity with Kelly, including transporting them throughout the United States for the purpose of sex. The accusers are listed as five Dane Doers, all of whom were under 18 when they met Kelly. As part of his alleged racketeering enterprise, Kelly's accused of making rules for the alleged sexual partners, including isolating them from others, barring them from leaving their rooms, even to eat or to go to the bathroom, requiring them to wear baggy clothes, forbidding them to look at other men, and requiring them to call him daddy. Wow. Ooh, that's a lot. Bruh, they is gonna barbecue your ass. I hope he know. And making them call him daddy. Hell no. Man, I hate to be a little graphic on my podcast, but the best thing for him to do is put his head between his legs and kiss his ass goodbye. Because he is gone, man. It would be a true miracle if he were convicted and found guilty, or found guilty and convicted on all charges. Man, this dude right here. At any rate, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Flat out. Well, we're going to return after this short break with some information about ASAP Rocky. The brother man that got caught up over in Switzerland, you know, on some charges, and he up in the jank, in jail rather, the jank for you people that know what jank means. We'll go over that once we come back from this short break. See you soon. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. Now we have a bit of information about ASAP Rocky. See what's up with this fool. Okay. Man seen on video being asked to leave ASAP Rocky alone is set free as rapper continues to stay in a Swedish jail. As ASAP Rocky remains held in a Swedish jail, waiting to find out if he will be charged with a crime, freedom has come to one person connected to the case. One of the men the rapper charges came at him, forcing him to defend himself. According to the Los Angeles Times, prosecutors in Sweden decided to free that man after apparently determining that while the man had been asked repeatedly to leave, the presence of Rocky and his entourage, the man was then pushed first. Oh, damn. Per the Times, senior public prosecutor Daniel Sundson, yes it is, said Monday in a press release, the person who filed the counter notice repeatedly asked the other person to leave. When he refused to leave, the other person first punches him away and then takes a grip around the other person's neck, lifting him away a few meters. The situation, the person throws his cell phone on the notifier. These foreign cats, they have a different way of stating things. You know, the person who filed the counter notice, okay, is apparently ASAP Rocky, explains the Times, who also notes that in widely seen video footage, Rocky can be seen picking up a man and throwing him across the street. However, the prosecutor noted that the man also began to fight, which might be considered a right to self-defense. For now, Rocky will be kept locked up in Sweden until at least this coming Friday, after a judge last week determined that Rocky was a flight risk. Boy, every black man a flight risk when they get locked up. Rocky was arrested July 3rd on suspicion of assault and has been jailed ever since while prosecutors determine whether to charge him. Rocky maintains that his case is one of self-defense. In two other videos, which footage that appears to have been taken prior to the actual fight, Rocky and his entourage can be seen and heard repeatedly asking two men to leave them alone and go on about their business. "We don't want to fight y'all," Rocky says, in the video. We don't want to go to jail. Oh, but he did. He boldly threw the guy who was following them around, then beat and kicked him while he was on the ground, along with two other dudes in his entourage. Well, alrighty then. I saw the video today. And by American standards, they deserve to have their asses beat. You know what I'm saying? Just to be fair. Because in the video that I watched today, they repeatedly asked the guys, man, what's up? Y'all ain't trying to get into altercation or nothing. And they actually kept following them. Why? It seemed like it was like, I don't know if it was staged or was it planned, but the guys wouldn't leave them alone until they got what they wanted by American standards. But they in a foreign country. And right now, America is not popular. And they be maybe trying to make a statement that y'all not gonna come over here and do anything, even though those two guys were in the wrong. You can just plain to see they was in the wrong, and ASAP and his crew was trying to deflate the situation so they could go on about their business, but you know, it kept on until it happened. So they got that man locked up in jail and haven't even charged him. By American standards, you can't keep people in jail for no good reason, quote unquote, supposedly. It has happened here also, you know, but it's very well known that it's illegal to hold people and they haven't been charged. It's very well known here. But in other countries, their rules are different. And they might be in the mood. They're not in the mood. And they're willing to let America know quick. No 45 don't run nothing over here. So he got up today and he said his words, you know, trying to make it seem like he actually cared about the guy and, you know, kept referring to the Black African-American community and stuff like that. He's always playing politics, you know, saying that he was going to try to get the guy out. But then the prosecutor over there, you know, he's saying that they're not discussing the situation as much as Trump says they are. So, I don't know. But on another note, ASAP, you know, when asked about issues in the Black community, he said some disparaging remarks about, you know, our situation in this country. You know, and I quote, I heard him say he didn't want to drink, talk about his lean, talk about his relationship with different women. He said he ain't trying to be Al Sharpton, or basically he was just saying, you know, he can't relate to the Black struggle in America. But I bet you his ass can relate to the Black struggle in Sweden, because they sure got his ass locked up on some bullshit. You know, excuse my French. No pun intended. But it's few people that he gets sympathy from by saying that. And now, it seems to me, we as a people, we are holding Negroes' feet to the fire. If you can't say anything in support of our struggle, and especially if you belong to the African-American Black community here in America, excluding immigrants, you know, from anywhere else. If you belong to our community, and if you don't have anything positive to say, it's best to keep your mouth closed. It's best to keep it closed. You just say, I can't speak on that right now. I don't have an opinion. But if you come out and say something derogatory right now, is real sensitive, and coons, buffoons, and clowns are being put on notice. We will excommunicate your ass. And that's what it is. I have one more bit of information about your favorite president once we return from this short break. Okay, welcome back, guys. This is the last segment of this episode. Your president is up to something else. What is he up to? Trump's plan would kick more than 3 million people off food stamps. Boy, he is busy trying to feed his base. A Trump administration proposal would limit Americans' access to food stamps by eliminating automatic enrollment in the program for poor families who receive welfare benefits. There are 3.1 million people who are eligible for food stamps because of this link, or 8% of all people receiving food stamps, the U.S. Department of Agriculture said. Policy experts said the proposal is likely to increase food insecurity among needy families. The Trump administration is proposing a rule that would limit Americans' access to food stamps, reportedly removing more than 3 million people from the federal program. The plan would eliminate automatic enrollment in food stamps for poor families who receive welfare benefits. The rule would erase what U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue called a loophole in welfare benefits. Currently, 43 states allow families who qualify for the Federal Temporary Assistance to Needy Families Program, or TANF, to automatically receive food stamps benefits, a link that the USDA wants to sever. Ending the practice would cut food stamp spending by $2.5 billion per year, the Reuters news agency reported. While income limits for TANF program vary state by state, the welfare program typically is restricted to low-income families. For instance, Georgia requires a family of three to earn less than $784 per month or $9,408 per year and have less than $1,000 in assets. Many policy experts say food stamp program is one of the nation's most successful anti-poverty programs. Yet the Trump administration and Republican lawmakers want to scale it back, claiming that many of its beneficiaries don't need such assistance given the strong economy. Far too long, the loophole has been used to effectively bypass important eligibility guidelines. Too often, states have misused this flexibility without restraint, Perdue said in a statement. Some policy experts decried the proposal, arguing that it will increase food insecurity among poor families and add to the state's administrative costs. The rule would disproportionately hurt families with children, seniors, and disabled people. Ben Linsky, Senior Vice President of Policy and Strategy at the Left Learning Center for American Progress, said in an email statement. The 43 states that use broad-based categorical eligibility would have to change their eligibility rules, modify their computer system, and retrain staff, placing an undue burden on state governments and make it more difficult for recipients and applicants to navigate the program. Fewer people on food stamps. Agriculture Department Acting Deputy Undersecretary Brandon Lips said in a conference call that some recipients are getting food stamps if they receive small welfare benefits, even only brochures, Bloomberg reported. The proposal would allow automatic enrollment only if families receive at least $50 per month in welfare benefits for at least 6 months, the news outlet noted. The proposed rule comes at a time when overall enrollment is dropping in the food stamps, formerly known as the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. About 36 million people received food stamps benefits in April, the most recent data available, down from 44 million the previous year. Enrollment in the program rose sharply following the recession, but more families are moving off the benefits as the economy improves. The proposed rule will require people who receive welfare payments through TANF to apply separately for the food stamp program. Typically, a family of three must earn less than $2,252 per month or about $27,000 per year to qualify for food stamps, according to the USDA. At the same time, enrollment in the welfare program is also dropping, according to the Center of Budget and Policy Priorities. Caseloads fell 20% in 2006 and in 2017 in 34 states, mostly because some of those states tightened their eligibility requirements, such as reducing the amount of time families can receive the benefit. The Liberal Learning Think Tank noted in the 2018 report. Okay. If you do your own research and look at how much welfare itself to include, I've done this before. If you do your research and look at the pie chart and look at how much social programs or welfare or food stamps account for the United States budget, it's small. So it's small. Food stamps take up a quarter of the budget. Well, it don't. It probably takes up 2%, if that, or 0.2%. You know, just do your own research. All you got to do is go in, pose the question, how much does the food stamp program account for in the American budget? And a pie chart will show up, and you'll see that it's very small. So this just, you know, why would you change a rule for the short term? Because don't nobody know what tomorrow holds. You know, we could be, next year could be another 2008, and then you got to go in and amend it, because people that's probably been low income long periods of time and possibly their whole lives, I have to, you know, maybe, you know, increase their benefits if they're getting any, or go back on. So it really makes no sense. But that is the, to me, that's what Republicans do. They get in there and they want to cut a bunch of programs, you know, to help pay for tax breaks, you know, possible tax breaks, because the more money that, also the more money that they save, the more money they could put other places that's maybe not, you know, beneficial to poor people. You know, so it's not new, really. You know, the roles are being increased. People, it to me, is working because it's supposed to be serve as a safety net for when people fall on hard times. So if you people are doing a study and there's less people on than years past, then you should leave it alone. Leave it alone. Leave it like it is. You know, so in the event that we fall on hard times again, you know, people, they won't have to go back and change and it back to the way it was, which could be so timely that it would cause people to have to wait longer for benefits or services than they would have to wait under normal circumstances. So they should just leave it alone. You know, if people are leaving the program because there are more opportunity in jobs or of course, states are tightening requirements, you know, so you can't be on there as long or receive benefits as long as you had could before, you know, and people are surviving, you just leave it like it is. But it's politics. You know, he wants to feed his base. His base want immigration, and his base wants is social program issue. You know, that's why to me you don't have a lot of too many Republicans in the Republican Party complaining about Trump. They're not gonna complain because they have a Republican president. They might not agree with how he handles business because he's just straightforward and honest about what he does. You know, they may not agree with his methods, but it remains that he's a Republican president, and you know, they're trying to get their agenda across. That's just politics. Same thing with the Democrats. But, you know, I don't see it as like anything catastrophic, but I do see it as just politics. They should just leave it alone, leave it like it is, because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. You know, right now the economy is good. You know, he's trying to take, you know, he credit for that or whatever, you know, but they should just leave that alone. Just leave it like it is, because, you know, he might, if you look at it along racial lines, you know, they try to hang a black face on welfare and public assistance and food stamps. That's not the case. When you look at the numbers, you know who gets the benefit the most. And I'm quite sure a lot of people that would be affected by the change in this program voted for his ass. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, maybe they'll reevaluate their decision after their food stamps start getting cut. People live out in the Midwest, North Dakota, South Dakota, you know, out there, you know, farmers that receive farm subsidies and whatnot, and they may be on public assistance. Okay, you know, that's what's going to hurt the most. But what they do is they hang a black face on public assistance. You know, they hang a black face on it, and that's not the case, because when given our population, we only make up in between, what, 13 to 15% of the population? You know, but we're not the majority of people receiving food stamps. And I'm quite sure if they was to make this change, they would find out. If they know the numbers, because they have access to the statistics. They have access to the stats. They know who's on public assistance and who isn't. But right now, they don't care, you know. And a lot of people they don't care about, voted for him. Whatever. You live and die with your decision. Okay, well, we're at the end of this episode of Listen to L Boogie. I had to cover a lot of things. It's been a minute since I was able to get on here and do something. I'm not going to say when you'll get another episode of my podcast, because there's so much happening. But I'll say this. See you guys the next time God leaves his footprints in the sky. Love y'all. I'll holler at you. Peace.